I want to read a sermon by John Calvin. If it's possible, I would love to read the whole of John Calvin's sermons on Deuteronomy, which is a large tome. This is the facsimile edition by Banner of Truth. If I can, I'll read in the facsimile. If not, then I might need to switch to the updated version by which can be found on the Monergism website. It doesn't cover the whole book, but somebody's put a lot of work into making it more readable. This is in Oldie English. Even so, Calvin is such a preacher, so much depth and power in his preaching. It's just so thrilling. This is so thrilling to read. Anyway, so who can tell, having started this, whether we'll finish it. We've already done a series on the Ten Commandments from this book, and also on Deuteronomy chapter 28, which seem very appropriate for the days in which we're living and the times that we find ourselves in. But studying this book with the insight of a master like John Calvin is going to be such a blessing to us. And the more we learn about God's law, the more we learn about the gospel too, and about also standards of conduct for Christians, and that helps us to decide and understand issues of which there are so many we face in the current time. Above all, we desire to glorify God. So this is a sermon by John Calvin, preached on the Wednesday, the 20th of March, 1555. And this is the first sermon of John Calvin on the first chapter of Deuteronomy. And the scripture is, "Here follow the words which Moses spake to all Israel beyond Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain, against the Red Sea, between Pharan and Tophel, and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 journeys from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass that in the 40th year, the first day of the 11th month, Moses spake to the children of Israel according to all that ever the Lord had commanded him to say unto them." Amen. So that's Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this reading of this sermon by John Calvin. And I pray, Lord, that rather than thinking that this is an ancient work of a master expositor, Lord, that we would think that this is your word to us today. And, oh Lord, speak to us, because we are hungry, Lord. And we need the living word, the word of God, the Bible, brought to our hearts and minds in Holy Spirit power, that we might grow thereby, that we might learn, that we might live thereby. So, Lord God, have mercy upon us. And so, Lord God, have mercy upon us and help us at this time. Anoint the reading of this sermon, Lord, and bless those who are hearers as well, and use all these things for your glory. And this we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When God caused his law to be published in Mount Horeb after his coming of the people out of thraldom of Egypt, thereby he showed to what end and purpose he had had pity of his people in delivering them, that is to wit, to be glorified thereby, as the mark whereunto we also must refer all the gracious gifts which he bestoweth upon us. Zachary, the father of St. John the Baptist, speaking of the great and sovereign deliverance that was made in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's in Luke 1, verses 74, saith that God's discharging of us from the hand and tyranny of our enemies was to the end that we should serve him in holiness and righteousness all our life long. And this is a doctrine very common throughout the Holy Scripture. And for the same cause also, it is said by the prophet Isaiah, that's Isaiah 43, verse 31, that God hath created a people to set forth his praise. Seeing then that the law was given to the people to make them perceive why they had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt, it was good reason that they should yield themselves to the obeying of God, which had showed himself their Redeemer in such wise. Nevertheless, the people were untoward and could not find in their hearts to yield themselves pliable in hearkening to the things that were told them in the name of their God. Yet ought they of right to have done it, seeing they had received so great and so inestimable a benefit. For God had uttered the mighty strength of his arm in delivering the people. Therefore ought they to have considered thus, Behold, our God hath magnified himself towards us after a wonderful fashion. We have had, as it were, a visible presence of his majesty. If the heavens had opened and God had showed himself to our eyes, we should not have had a greater and more undoubted assurance of his nearness unto us, to warrant us that he was our leader. Seeing then that God is so come down unto us, and that it hath pleased him to impart his goodness in such wise unto us, is it not reason that we should be wholly his? And seeing he hath reached out his hand to redeem us, ought we not to be his heritage, inasmuch as he hath gotten us by his own mighty power? Had the people had one drop of wisdom, they should have yielded themselves with all humility to receive the doctrine that was preached to them by Moses. Yea, and what authority deserved the law, which was so confirmed with such store of miracles? For when God had chosen Moses to be his prophet, he not only commanded him to speak, but also took him up into the mountain and separated him from the company of men, to the end that when he should come set forth his law, the people should accept him as an angel and not as a mortal creature. He was there 40 days without eating or drinking, to show that he was exempted from the common sort of men, and that God had taken him up, as it were, into heavenly glory. And when he came down again, his face shone as bright as it had been another sun, whereas men attribute horns unto him. It is said that he had sunbeams round about him, that is to say, he had such a brightness as he was fain to wear a veil before his face, and where to conserve that but to ratify and confirm the law which God had given and committed unto him, and to make it known that it was not a doctrine that this word is obscured, but I think it's designed by a mortal man. Besides this, there was thundering and lightning and trumpets sounding in the air, so as it seemed that all the world should have gone to rack, and there was not any place, either high or low, which did not shake and tremble when God went about to utter his voice. Seeing then that the law was so well sealed and with such majesty, it not needs be that the people were worse than blocks when they hearkened not to their God, speaking with such force. Yet for all that, the law was despised. And even while God was preparing of his servant Moses to set it forth, behold, the people could not abide to tarry the bringing of God's will unto them, but made them a calf of gold, and fell flatly to setting up of new superstitions, even in spite of God, of whose power and favour they had so often had experience. Again, when the law was once given to the people trembled and quaked for a while, insomuch that they were enforced to say, If God speak any more unto us, we be utterly undone. There is no way for us but death. And therewithal they stood aloof from the mountain, and according also as they were commanded. It should seem then that there was some reverence, but the issue showed that all was but hypocrisy, and it appeared well that they were not rightly touched in their hearts, nor had taken lively root to profit in their doctrine. We see then, in effect, that when God did first of all publish his law, it had very scant and slender hearing, and the people were not yet disposed to submit themselves to it as they should have done, by reason whereof God was fain to return to it again, notwithstanding that the people deserved not that God should cause Moses to serve still in that office. For was it not reason that they which had so despised the living God should thenceforth have been left destitute of all truth, that they, the devil might have taken possession of them, that he might have made them stark blind, that they might have starved for want of lively food, and that they should have been poisoned with all the deceits and errors of Satan? Of a truth, that people were well worthy of such reward. But God had not an eye to the deserts of that wretched people, for he surmounted their sins with his infinite goodness, and proceeded in teaching of the still, even when they had showed themselves most stubborn and rebellious, and had matched their unthankfulness with such wilfulness, as there seemed to be no way to come near them to do them good. And yet did God even then use his mercy and vouchsafe to say whether the people would suffer themselves to be brought back again or no. And that as is, and that is the cause why Moses did not only set forth the law in Horeb, but also used vehement exhortations therewithal, because he saw the lightness and unconstancy of the people in devouring and straining himself by all means to bring them back again unto God. Yet, notwithstanding, God vouchsafed still that in the end there should be an abridgment of the law, and that the same should be confirmed as it is constrained in this book. And that is the cause why it is entitled Deuteronomy, which is as much to say as the law repeated. Not that God bringeth in any new thing here, but for that he blameth the people for their foresaid lewdness, showing that his doctrine had been ill observed, like as when children do not profit well at school, but play the gross asses. When they have spent a whole year and are never the further forward, they must be fain to return again to their apse. And why? For notwithstanding they have heard their schoolmaster, yet they be as ignorant as they were before, insomuch that instead of learning anything, a man shall see them continue still always at one stay. So then our Lord upbraideth the people of Israel with their brutish dullness in repeating his law unto them the second time, as if he should say, ye be very ill scholars, for I have trained you sufficiently in my law. The doctrine comprehended in the Ten Commandments constraineth to full perfection of all wisdom. Yet hath not all this been enough for you, because ye have no cares at all, or else they be too long, so that of all this while nothing is entered in your hearts, or rather ye have not heard what I said unto you. And therefore you must be fain to turn back again to your first lesson, and to your apse. I must be fain to open my law again unto you, and to chew your meat unto you, that you may digest it the better. And because ye be so dull upon the spur, I must be fain to prick you forward, and to use greater force to waken you, that the hardness of heart which I see in you may be amended. Thus we see, in effect, what the groundwork of this book is. That is to wit, that God, having already given his law to the people of Israel, and warranted it as much as was requisite, vouchsafed, because of their hard-heartedness and stubbornness, to give a large declaration thereof that Moses had put in writing as yet. And he hath not only opened the meaning of the law, but also exhorted the people to keep it better than they had done before, upbraiding them with their lewdness, in that they had been so unruly and so ill-disposed to receive the instruction of their Maker and Redeemer at the first time. Now all the things that we see in this people belong unto us, and would God we resembled not the Jews in anything, I mean as in these points. But if ever there were too much hardness of heart in them, how much more is it to be found in us nowadays? For our Lord hath spoken more than once unto us. If the law were well warranted in the hand of Moses, had the gospel been less confirmed unto us in these days? If the earth were shaken then, if the trumpets founded, if the lightnings flew abroad, If thunderclaps were heard, the gospel also shaketh both heaven and earth, as now, as it is said by the prophet Haggai. I think that's Haggai, and that's verse, chapter 2, verse 7. And alleged by the apostle in the epistle to the Hebrews, Hebrews 12, 26. Also, we hear what St. Paul speaketh of it in the third chapter of the second epistle to the Corinthians. The message of life and salvation, that's 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7, saith he, which is contained in the gospel, must needs be glorified as much or more than the doctrine of the law, which was dead in itself and could not give men life. Seeing then that the gospel hath uttered so great majesty, that God hath uttered so great majesty in the gospel, and his preaching of it unto us hath been for once and always, but we have our ears beaten with it every day, let us see if we be good scholars, and whether we bear in mind the things that have been told us, so as God is honoured at our hands. Are we linked unto him? Alas, it is nothing so. For continue God never so much in setting forth his doctrine unto us, wherein we do, as it were, see his heart laid open unto us, yet are we locked up on our part, and we give him no entrance, but rather we be gadding and full of vanity, and we be so far off from being touched with the doctrine and from receiving it to hold ourselves wholly to it and to set our minds upon it, and to be settled in right obedience to it, that rather the clean contrary is to be seen. And so we see that the Jews are as a looking glass, wherein we may behold our own rudeness, frowardness, and unthankfulness, and willful stubbornness against God. Yea, and we be more blameworthy than the Jews for giving so slender care to our God, or ear to our God. For as I have told you already, the people of old time ought to have thought themselves bound unto God, and to have yielded and given over themselves wholly to his service, because he had delivered them from that thraldom of Egypt. And what is it that God hath rid us from now at this time? He'd rid them from the bondage and the slavery of the Church of Rome. Is it but from the tyranny of a mortal man or of some earthly people? No, but we know that he hath ransomed us from the chains of sin and of the devil. He hath pulled us out of the gulf of death. He hath drawn us out of the dungeon of hell. And he hath not only promised us the land of Canaan for an inheritance, but also opened the heavens unto us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath taken possession thereof for us, to the end we might be sure that our abiding place and everlasting rest is made ready for us there. Seeing then that God hath bound us in such wise unto him, is not our unthankfulness double, yea, or rather a hundredfold more shameful than the unthankfulness of the people of old time? Furthermore, whereas God hath vouchsafed to hold on in the office of instructing, to teach the people which was so rude and rebellious, let us assure ourselves that he doeth the like towards us nowadays, yea, and it is requisite for us. He should so do, as I have said already. Or else what would become of it? But sith we see that God is so gracious as not to be weary of teaching us, though it boot us not at the first day, nor at the first year, let us assure ourselves that his dealing with us after that sort from day to day is no more than needeth. And it is a point well worth the marking, for men have itching ears and be desirous to hear always new things. And if the doctrine of God be preached and set forth to them every day, it becometh irksome to them, and they wax weary of it. For to their seeming it is enough to speak of it once or twice, and they consider not how they forget the things which they ought to have borne away. So then, to the end we wax not weary of the doctrine that is preached unto us, let us mark that it is needful for us that God should put us still in mind of the things that he hath taught us already, for our wits are short towards him. And therefore let us bethink ourselves well, and whensoever it is told us that there is but one God in whom we be, and that he is not only our Maker, but also our Father, and hath adopted us to be his children, and moreover tied us to him by a much straiter band, in that he hath redeemed us with the blood of his own Son. Whensoever we put in mind of these things, although we have heard of them before, yet let us not say, Tush, these things have been preached to us so long, but let every of us enter into himself and examine himself and see whether that the things that we have heard heretofore be well printed in our hearts. Let us then enter into accomplish after that sort. Why? For if we remember well that we be set in this world to the end to glorify our God, would we not be more mindful to discharge our duty towards him? If we considered the fatherly kindness that he useth in calling us his children, and which he hath showed towards us once already in adopting of us in the person of his own Son, and if we mark how dearly we cost our Lord Jesus Christ, when he did set us free from endless death, should we not be desirous to give ourselves wholly to our God? Should we not be moved to yield him another manner of reverence than we do? Now therefore, whensoever we be unruly, so as that world carrieth us away, and we be entangled in earthly lusts and affections, let us assure ourselves that it is because we have not given good ear to our God when he spake to us, nor taken heed to it when he warned us of our duties. And therefore it is good for us to be put in mind of it, and to have God come back again to us, and to say unto us, Ye wretched folk, what mean ye? When I have once taught you, the doctrine that is contained in my word ought to soak throughly into you, and yet notwithstanding ye be still like little babes. This is it, say I, which we have to do, to the end we may find favour in God's word, and be nourished therewith as with our ordinary food. We must assure ourselves that the appointing of this order, that we should be preached unto all the time of our life, and that we should have our ears beaten continually with the things which ought to understand in 1 or 2 months, and it's not in vain. Furthermore, if we do not so, if we subdue not ourselves to the hearing of our God, and suffer ourselves to be taught by him all the time of our life, let us be afraid lest he execute the vengeance upon us, which he threatened once to the people of Israel by his prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 29, I think that's verse 11, saying that his law should be to them as a book shut up and sealed, so as if it were offered to men of skill, they should say, The letters are not to be seen, there is a seal upon them, I cannot tell what is within it. And if it were offered to ignorant and unlearned men, we never went to school, we cannot read. Lo, how God punisheth all such as walk in their own brutishness, and will never submit themselves unto him. True it is that God beareth with us for a time, and that, as I said afore, although we be worthy to be cut off from his house, and to be bereft of his truth, so as he should give us up into Satan's hands, to be blinded with lies, and to be poisoned by him, yet notwithstanding, our God having pity upon us, assayeth still to win us to himself. But if we continue still in refusing, my apologies, there was an important interruption there, but I'm just going to go back to this bit where Isaiah speaks, because I lost my place, saying that this his law should be to them as a book shut up and sealed, so as if it were offered to men of skill, and they should say, the letters are not to be seen, there is a seal upon them, I cannot tell what is within it. And if it were offered to ignorant and unlearned men, they should answer, We be not book learned, we never went to school, we cannot read. Lo, how God punisheth all such as walk in their brutishness, and will never submit themselves unto him. True it is that God beareth with us for a time, and that, as I said afore, although we be worthy to be cut off from his house and to be bereft of his truth, so as he should give us up into Satan's hands, to be blinded with lies and to be poisoned by him, yet notwithstanding our God, having pity upon us, assayeth still to win us to himself. But if we continue still in refusing the good doctrine and become never the better for it at the year's end, then we were at the first day. At length this threat must needs light upon us, namely, that we shall take the Holy Scripture into our hands and have it preached unto us, and yet we shall understand never a whit of it, though we be never so witty. And that when, as the unlearned shall say, I wot not what it meaneth, it shall also be as a letter folded up and fast sealed, even to them that are skilfulest and sharpest witted. Wherefore, let us stand in fear of such threatenings, and lest our light be turned into darkness, let us take hold of the opportunity which God offereth us nowadays, that we may fare the better by his continual speaking to us after that sort. True it is that the things which are contained here were spoken to the people of Israel, and might have profited them in their time, but yet do they also belong unto us at this day, and they be as a common treasure whereof God will have us to be partakers. For as we shall see hereafter, the law was not only given as a rule whereby to live well, but also grounded upon the covenant which God had made with Abraham and his offspring. And by virtue of that covenant, we are become heirs of the heavenly kingdom, Galatians 3:29, as showeth St. Paul. To seek our salvation, we must resort to the promise that was made to our father Abraham, and to be of the household of God's church and members of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be of Abraham's spiritual lineage. Hereby, then, we see that this doctrine not only served till the coming of the Son of God, but also served still to our behoof, and shall do so still to the world's end. For it is a building that is founded upon the everlasting covenant, from whence, as from the true fountain thereof, our salvation springeth, as I said afore. Wherefore, let us mark that whensoever God shall henceforth speak to the Jews, the same is spoken also unto us, and we must receive it in such wise as we must understand that God hath shed forth his grace through the whole world by the coming of his only Son, and builded up the heavenly Jerusalem to the end that we should all be linked together in one holy brotherhood to call upon him as our Father, all with one mouth. Sith it is so, then, let us understand that it is good reason that we should give over ourselves unto him, and that he should hold us in awe and enjoy us, and that, like as he hath vouchsafed to give himself unto us, so we on our side should be wholly his, to yield him the duty which children owe to their father, and that when we be negligent and slow therein, we should at least wise be moved with the exhortations that are contained in this book, and that seeing God calleth upon us so earnestly, we should not stop our ears against him, but every man awake, and one of us rebuke another. Yea, and that if we were wise, we should not tarry till God quickened us up so sharply, but rather prevent him, howbeit that we ought to be moved to be ashamed of our lewdness, and to return again unto God, at least wise, when he falleth to correcting of us, by thundering out his threatenings against us, and by upbraiding of us with our sins. Thus ye see that we have to mark in general upon this book. Now let us come to the text that I have rehearsed afore. These are the words which Moses spake unto the people in the wilderness and in the plain, or champion grounds, beyond Jordan, even from Horeb. Unto the places here before rehearsed, herein we have to note that God intended to rebuke the people for their not keeping of the law, which had not only been preached to them by mouth, but also set down in writing, as if a man should make an instrument or conveyance of some bargain between two parties. God himself vouchsafed to engrave his law or at least wise, the Ten Commandments in two tables, to the intent they might be remembered the better. For albeit that the doctrine was clear enough of itself, and God had provided to preserve it from forgetting, yet did not the people receive it. Therefore, as now he casteth them in the teeth, or as if it should be said unto us, Behold, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, having been preached with such power and majesty, is also left in writing. We have had the gospel preached unto us now a long time, even the same gospel which is set down unto us in books. Therefore are we too inexcusable, if we cannot tell what God saith to us there. If a man should speak after the manner, that manner, it were a blaming of us for our beastliness. Again, if it should be said that whereas we were baptized in the name of the Son of God when we were babes, yet we know him not, that being come to man's estate, we be so brutish, that after so often hearing of God's truth, yet we be still but novices in it, and that we can scarcely tell what it is, or at leastwise have never taken any taste of it at all. Such manner of opening of the gospel unto us, how it hath been offered us of long time and after diverse fashions, were as a framing of an indictment against us. So now likewise Moses, to witness openly to the people that they had showed themselves too unthankful towards God, saith expressly, These are the words that I uttered and preached unto you from time to time, not for a day or two, but ever since the publishing of the law in the mountain of Horeb. And because you showed yourselves so ill-disposed, I have not ceased to put you still in remembrance of the things that you had heard before. Now let us learn hereby to be the better quickened up, and sith we see it hath been God's will that even from the beginning of the world his truth should have some certain record among men, and that he hath not ceased to set it forth still to raise it up again when men have gone about to bury it by their spitefulness, let us acknowledge his wonderful goodness in so doing, and be moved to receive the things that shall be spoken unto us. Mark that for one point. But to the end we may be the better disposed, we must also weigh this saying, which Moses addeth, even according to all that God had commanded him. Now by this preface he showeth that he brought not anything of his own, nor meant to subdue the people to his own dotages, nor to anything that he could have devised of his own reason and wisdom as in respect of men, but that he did simply obey God, and as a faithful and trusty messenger, without swerving aside either to the right hand or to the left. There's a quote here from Deuteronomy 34 verse 10. Now, if Moses, who had so excellent a record, as we see, insomuch that God never raised up any prophet equal or like unto him, if Moses, that prince of all prophets next unto Jesus Christ, and the chief of all under the old law, do nevertheless protest that he putteth not forth anything of his own head, I pray you, what shall others do? May they compare themselves with him? No. Put the case that they be as highly advanced and placed as he, yet notwithstanding the furthest that they ought to go is to be but to set forth the things that God hath commanded them. And therefore let us learn that here all men's traditions are shut out of doors. And hereby it appeareth that the Pope hath marred and corrupted the whole order of the Church by his taking upon him to be a lawmaker, to devise laws and to lay them upon men's necks at his own pleasure, to forge and contrive new articles of faith, and to enforce men to receive his inventions as the Holy Scriptures. Was not this a turning of all things upside down? Yes, for God never meant that men should have such liberty and sway in the Church, so as to set forth any of their own inventions there, but he himself only will be heard there. Mark that for one point. But there is yet more in it. For it is not only said that Moses spake according to the charge that was given him, but according to all that ever the Lord had commanded him. He showeth then that he did not, as it were, make a medley, or seek by any means to bring in what he himself thought good, or to separate himself from God's word, but that he followed God's will from point to point to the uttermost. You see then that there was a great singleness of heart in Moses, insomuch as he not only gave forth the things that he had received at God's hand, but also continued throughout in the same singleness of keeping himself within his bounds, so as he ranged not abroad to say, this is good, or that is good, thus or thus do I think of this matter. No, but in all points he ruled himself according to the charge of his commission, uttering his message according as he had heard God speak it. Mark that for the second point. Now herewithal we be warned to receive the doctrine here contained, not as coming from a mortal man. In speaking unto us, Moses protesteth that he himself is not our schoolmaster, though he rehearsed our lesson unto us, but that must always be God and his Holy Spirit, that must be even our Lord Jesus Christ, in whole hand and law was given, as St. Paul speaketh of him. For he was the governor of the church at all times. You see then that the thing which we have to consider here is that we must reverently and carefully receive the things that were given us by the hand of Moses, not that we may think that anything came of himself, but that God sent him and ordained him to be his instrument, so that when we receive anything that was spoken by Moses, we may warrant ourselves that God guideth and governeth us by his own pure truth, and that our faith resteth not upon men, nor upon any mortal creature, but that the living God is the author, and will also be the warranter thereof. Now after he hath spoken so, he saith that he rehearsing of all these things was in the 40th year, the 11th month, and the first day of the month. As if it had been said, when the people drew nigh to the land of promise, and were ready to enter into it, then did he repeat the law of God, and make an abridgment of it, and rehearse all the exhortations and warnings which he had made to them before. Not that Moses had held his peace and kept silence ever since the giving of the law in Horeb, for as I have told you already, he ceased not to call upon the people continually, because he saw them so wilful and stubborn, and so stiff-necked and hard to be bowed. But in the end, forasmuch as he drew near to his long home, and had as good as finished his race, and should anon after depart out of this world, as we shall see that he did in the end of this book, he made a rehearsal of all the doctrine that he had preached by the space of 40 years, of purpose to ratify and confirm it in such wise to the people as their successors might be edified by it after his decease, and the profit thereof redound unto us at this day, and we be taught all the lessons contained therein. Nevertheless, we see moreover that the people ought ere at that time to have been truly subdued, and to have submitted themselves better unto God than they did. For 40 years are a good reasonable time to dispose a man to goodness, if ever he will be good, when which we have to bear in mind. Turned over 2 pages by mistake. When we see a man hath been let chaw upon the bridle by the space of 40 years, and yet will give ear to no counsel nor reason, 'tis then high time or never for him to bethink himself, and to fall to better disposition and ripeness of discretion than he had done afore. And if he be told his fault, God therefore, perceiving his people to be so wild, gave them time and respite to become tame, and led them about by that space of 40 years, which thing he did to them for their stubbornness' sake, as we shall see hereafter. But that thing that we have to mark at this present is no more but that the cause why Moses spake now unto the people was for that he drew near his end, and God was at the point to take him out of the world, and also for that the people should be as it were renewed at that time. For it had been said to them that had refused to enter into the land of Canaan, your carcasses shall rot here in the wilderness. You be not worthy to possess the inheritance which your God promised to his servant Abraham. You see then that when the people were after a sort renewed at the end of 40 years, then did Moses set forth the law again and speak to them according to God's commandment. Now must we also apply this to our instruction, that is to say, whensoever we have been so far overseen as not to profit in God's school, so as we continue asses still, or at least wise, have but pickled upon the doctrine, without suffering it to work any true liveliness in us. If God subdue us and prepare us better by continuance of time to hark unto him, let us advise ourselves to make our profit thereof, and let us not be unamendable. For what shall we win by it, the end, if we continue still unruly, and be so stubborn that God cannot overmaster us? Shall it not turn to our confusion? Therefore, as well publicly as privately, let us bethink us to profit ourselves by this warning. And if we have ill received the doctrine that hath been long preached unto us heretofore, let us consider that inasmuch as God doth not yet give us over, but useth such mercy towards us, his desire is to draw us still unto him. And therefore let us prepare ourselves, that we become not stubborn against him, but rather let us learn to be meek, and let us give way to the doctrine, that it may enter into our minds and hearts. Thus ye see how we ought to behave ourselves. Furthermore, when God visiteth us and sendeth us any corrections to humble us and abate our overgreat unthankfulness and frowardness, let us turn over a new leaf and return again unto him. And when we have done so generally for the whole body of the church, let every of us do the like privately on his own behalf. If any man have run astray and never known God aright, nor never submitted himself fully to the wholesome doctrine, if God visit him by sickness, poverty, or otherwise, howsoever it be, let him bethink himself and say, Alas, the gospel hath been preached unto me, but how have I received it of all this while? I knew not my God, and although I professed myself to be one of his numbers, yet did it not touch me at the heart. How shall I now do, therefore, sith it is God's will to have me to be his scholar? It is good reason that I yield myself wholly to him, and that I reverence him as I ought to do my sovereign master and teacher. Thus ye see that the thing whereof we be warned in this text is that we see how our Lord endeavoureth by all means to bring us back, and is minded to beat down the rebelliousness that is in us by rebuking our vices, and that he gathereth us home to him when he sees us go astray, to the intent to reform us. We must not kick against the spur, as I said, but rather meekly and mildly seek to be governed by him, and to profit more and more in his word. Now let us cast ourselves down in the presence of our good God, and with acknowledgement of the innumerable faults with which we cease not to commit daily, against his majesty, praying him to vouchsafe to wipe them out through his free goodness, and therewithal to bring us home again to him, and to work so in us by his Holy Spirit, as our consciences may be mortified from day to day, until we be rid quite and clean of all the corruptions of our flesh, to be clothed again with his righteousness. And so let us all say, Almighty God and Heavenly Father, and so on. Heavenly Father, have mercy upon us sinners. We are cloth-eared, we are dull of heart, and you speak to us again and again. We thank you, Father, that you're a God who bears with us in our weakness, Lord, who is long-suffering towards us, for if you had rejected us at the first, Lord, who could stand? And yet, Lord, we, even having been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, by grace, by the blood of the atonement, Father, we are so dull of hearing, we are so apt to coldness of heart, dryness of spirit, Lord, indifference of mind. Father, revive your church in these days. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Forgive us for our many sins that we've sinned, and we've sinned against your majesty. You have warned us of who you are, of your character. You have warned us and shown us how you are a God who hates sin because of your own eternal righteousness, holiness, and goodness. And Father, we have treated sin so lightly. Father, forgive us, have mercy upon us. Cleanse us in that precious blood, that precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And revive us, your church, in the midst of these years, Lord, and have mercy upon the lands in which we live. And these things we ask and pray, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.